Chapter 8. She still woke early. However, instead of heading out to the Plimmery, Alvy asked Fred to take her into town. She'd requested permission from Mrs. Praff, since Magician Praff was still working in the lab. An apology to her mentor would be in order when she got back, but there was another apology she owed first. She wrung her hands the entire way to the post office. It was a small comfort that she rode in the back of the automobile, where the chauffeur wouldn't see her. She could go to the house, she was sure. The Bailey house, that was. Looked him up the same way Bennett had looked up Magician Praff's residence. But the thought of trekking up, uninvited, to another giant mansion, to seek an audience with a person who very rightly didn't want to see her, made Alvy's skin burn. And Bennett had mentioned having a strict schedule. What if she interrupted? What if she made it worse? Besides, Alvy wasn't the most eloquent person with words. She needed to think them out in order to get them right, which was precisely why this slightly more cowardly plan she developed would work. Hopefully. Alvy had decided to go to the post office and use her stipend to buy every single mailbird they had in stock. She would figure out the eloquent words, gush her sorries, and send them all dancing into the sky. It would be a grand spectacle. And Bennett was a folder, wasn't he? He liked paper. With luck, he would be charmed into forgiving her. At least that's how it played out in her head. Fred pulled the automobile up to the post office, which was a bit larger than Alvy had anticipated, and quite a bit busier. She stepped inside and saw a short line at the front. The side wall boasted a large bulletin board, covered in cards offering services, flyers for lost persons or pets, and advertisements for various wares. There were also cubbies along the wall for those who liked to pick up their mail, Alvy supposed, and a shelf that had paper, pens, boxes, and the like for sale. Alvy didn't see any mailbirds on it. They must have been special order. Wringing her hands, Alvy inched around the post office until she found a thick book to the left of the front desk. The word addresses was typed across the front, and beneath those bold letters were the words sort by name. This was an enchanted book, then? Good, that would make things easier. Alvy touched the cover of the book and said, sort Bailey. The book popped open as though by invisible hands, the pages shuffling until parting on a page in the B section. Alvy frowned. There were a good deal of Baileys listed. What was Bennett's mentor's first name again? Chewing on her lip, Alvy closed the book, considered the conundrum, said, sort folders. There were much fewer of those. The book opened to a section closer to the back, labeled Magicians. The section for folding took up one-third of a column. Magician Pritwin Bailey's name sat at the top. Sighing in relief, Alvy pulled a pencil and her ledger from her bag, jotted down the address, and joined the line stemming from the front desk. She bounced on her toes, trying to think of sincere things to say, or perhaps clever. People liked clever things. Alvy was terrible at jokes, though. Could she think of something clever that wasn't a joke? Was there even space on a mailbird to write out a joke? The jokes she knew, the ones her papa told her, were very long and often didn't seem like jokes until he got to the end. Miss? Alvy blinked and glanced up at the postal worker behind the desk. He resembled Magician Jefferson, sans mustache. Oh, sorry. She closed the gap between herself and the desk. I need to buy mailbirds, a lot of mailbirds. How many do you have? And will you help me count out the money for them? For all her credits in math, she still hadn't memorized the conversion rate of dollars to pounds. I'm sorry, lass, the worker said. We're fresh out of birds, but letters work just as well. Alvy's skeleton seemed to crinkle in on itself, making her feel a great deal shorter. All out, you're sure? She couldn't make a grand magical gesture with envelopes, and mail delivered in person took longer to arrive. She couldn't let Bennett go days thinking she'd snubbed him. The worker tilted his head to the side and offered an apologetic smile beneath his mustache. I'm afraid so. Oh, wait, looks like we're in luck. Morning to you, Magician Thane. Alvy spun around just in time to see a woman reply, Good morning, Marcus. She was a couple inches shorter than Alvy, and had vivid orange hair pulled back into a French twist. She didn't look like a magician, though Alvy supposed magicians didn't have a particular look. She did, however, appear ready to burst at the middle. The woman had to be a full 9 months pregnant. She held a sizable parcel resting atop her round belly. Marcus, the postal worker, readied to come around the desk, so Alvy said, "Here, let me," and took the parcel from her. It was astonishingly light. She set it on the desk, and Marcus pulled a small knife from his pocket to cut the strings. "Magician Thane here delivers our mail birds," he explained. "So looks like I'll have some after all." Alvy's skeleton straightened itself out. "Really? Can I buy all of them?" Marcus paused in his cutting and eyed her. Beside her, the small, round Magician Thane laughed. "Here," she said, taking Alvy's elbow. "The line is getting long, and I can tell you're not from around here. I've got paper in my bag. I'll make you some for free." Alvy's glasses slid a millimeter down her nose, but she hesitated to correct them. "Are you sure? I can pay for all 100 I just brought, and then they'll be out again," she smiled. "I don't mind. Come this way." Alvy eyed the woman's stomach, but obliged, letting Magician Thane pull her away from the line and over to a bench. The folder settled down a little lopsidedly, then let out a long breath and rested a hand on her stomach. Looking at Alvy, she said, "Mind grabbing that table? I've run out of lap space for folding." Alvy looked across the way and saw a short table near the shelves of supplies for sale. She quickly crossed over to it and grabbed its sides. It was much heavier than it looked, and when Alvy dragged it, its feet scraped loudly against the stony tiles of the post office floor. But the folder needed a table, and Alvy needed a grand gesture, so she kept tugging that screeching table across the room to the bench, trying to ignore the looks that followed her and the two children who covered their ears and wailed to their mother. Alvy couldn't hear their exact complaints over the table's screeching. Magician Thane looked a little surprised when Alvy finally reached her. She wasn't sure why, but the smile returned. "So you need a great number of male birds. They don't fare well across the ocean, unfortunately." "Oh, no, I'm not riding home," Alvy plopped down beside her. "I'm riding to someone in town. Well, close to town." She pulled out the address and showed it to the folder. "I got caught up in my own head, you see, and I may have missed, a date. And I just feel horrible about it, and I thought, well, since he's a folder, maybe he'd appreciate folding?" Magician Thane had an interesting look on her face, to say the least, so Alvy added, "Unless you think that's a silly idea." "Oh, no, not at all. It's just, well, I know this residence. I wouldn't have thought Magician Bailey the dating type, is all. You must have really..." Oh, no, it's for his apprentice. His name is Bennett Cooper. I'll be sure to address them all to him." Alvy paled at the thought of her grand gesture going to the wrong person. "Oh, hello, Bennett. Not only did I forget about your dinner, but I'm apparently crazy for your mentor. La-di-da, something British." A strange knowing smile spread on Magician Thane's face. "That makes more sense. Let's see." She pulled a short stack of square papers from her bag. Half were white, the rest multicolored. Orange, yellow, pink, green. "I can do 4 types of birds, as well as a butterfly. Those are the standards, at least. All of it, if you can. I was thinking, 20? Magician Thane nodded and reached into her bag. "I can pay you." "Oh, hush, I don't need it. I'm all for the furthering of romance." She smiled and handed a stack of roughly 20 papers to Alvy. "Start writing, and I'll fold them after." Alvy nodded. "Thank you, really." She took out her pencil and wrote the first thing that came to her head. "Bennett, I'm so sorry I missed you yesterday. I had truly looked forward to the evening. My head got caught in the preliminary, and I missed the hour. Please forgive me." She took up another sheet. "I'm so very, very sorry." And another. "I will swear off magic until Christmas, if you'll forgive me. Oh, this is Alvy, by the way." Alvy glanced up to Magician Thane. Her hands worked deftly, carefully lining up the sides of the paper and creasing the edges, forming wings and a tail. Alvy marveled as she formed a songbird, then a crane, then a butterfly. How different this magic was from her own. Folding was one of the oldest forms of magic. How many spells did it have? While polymaking was still so new, so untried. Alvi grabbed another paper and another, scrawling apologies across them all. On one, she drew a picture of herself looking sad. Was that silly? But she didn't want to waste Magician Thane's paper or her generosity, so she handed it over. Magician Thane chuckled when she folded that one. All right, the orange-haired woman said once she'd finished. Folded creations filled the table and the stretch of bench between them. I've included the spells already, so all you have to do is say breathe, and then recite the address. Write Bennett's name on the wings first, though. Alvi nodded. I will. Oh, thank you so very much. I really... A man's voice interrupted her. Just a moment, she said. I'm only dropping it off, she said. Alvi glanced up to see a man standing a few feet in from the entrance, his arms folded across his chest. He looked to be in his 30s, with wavy black hair that couldn't decide if it wanted to be short or long. He wore an unusual indigo coat. I stumbled upon a friend of Bennett's, Magician Thane said, grabbing the edge of the bench and hauling herself to her feet. She needed male birds. The man smiled, though the expression enlivened his eyes more than it did his mouth. Is that not what was in the box? He eyed the mess on the bench. Alvi said, It's for a grand gesture. The man nodded and let his arms fall to his sides. Ah, I am not one to stand in the way of a grand gesture. He offered his elbow to Magician Thane. If you're ready, love. Magician Thane smiled and took the man's arm. Turning back to Alvi, she said, Good luck, and departed out the door. Alvi watched the couple go, then turned back to the spells scattered around her. How incredibly fortunate she had been to run into a folder at the post office. Since the table was already here, Alvi went ahead and scrawled Bennett's name on all the male birds' and butterflies' wings, then scooped them into her bag, careful not to crush them. She then got back in line and took out a few pence from her wallet. When she reached Marcus, he said, Anything else, miss? Just one of the male birds, if you don't mind. He fished behind his counter and offered her 3 styles of bird. She selected the crane and handed him 9 coins. He returned 1. Thanking him, Alvi sidestepped to the address book and again looked up folders. She found 2 listings under Thane, but both resided at the same address. Unfold, she told the pre-enchanted spell, and the spell opened to a heavily creased square. Upon it, Alvi wrote, Thank you for your help at the post office, Alvi Breckenmacher. She commanded the bird, Refold, and watched its edges and creases crinkle and warp until its body was restored. Alvi hurried outside, not wanting to make Fred wait too long. Finding a spot down the street where there were fewer people, she dumped all of Bennett's mail things on the ground and said, Breathe. To her delight, every single creature animated, coming to life as though they were flesh and blood. Birds hopped over the cobblestones, and butterflies fluttered around her crown. Alvi recited the address, and the small army of spells took to the sky, heading west in unison. Grinning, Alvi shielded her eyes and watched them go. She pulled out the purchased bird and was about to send it off to Magician Thane, when a man said, Miss Breckenmacher, just who I wanted to see. Goose flesh rose on her arms, and she turned quickly enough that her glasses slid down her nose. She shoved them back up and took in Magician Azel, walking toward her on the pavement. He was well-dressed, expensively so, and had a tailored coat buttoned around his waist. He hid his hands in his pockets. Her stomach squirmed. She glanced behind him, spotting a man and woman walking arm in arm on the pavement, but they were moving away, not toward. A boy rode past on horseback, eyes glued to the road. I was just leaving. She tucked the male bird under her arm and turned away from the polymaker, heading back toward the post office and Fred. Wait, wait, no need for rudeness. Magician Azel picked up his pace and circled around her, blocking her path. Has your mentor painted me so foully that you won't even say hello? Magician Praff doesn't talk about you. It happened again. the tightness around his eyes, just like on the train. She was very certain now that he had knowingly sent her to the wrong stop, and he had no doubt taken pleasure in it. He smiled. It looked almost feral, forced. "Oh, I'm glad to hear it. Tell me, what does Pratt say?" He put a hand on her shoulder. She shook it off. "Nothing of consequence. My driver is waiting for me." An automobile engine sounded in the distance, then faded. "Listen, dear." He leaned in and lowered his voice. "What would you like, Just for a few whispers of what goes on in that preliminary? Money? Name your price." He pulled out a wallet stuffed with bills and began counting them. Alvy made a noise of disgust, a noise her mama hated, and stepped around him, charging up the street. Someone crossed the road ahead of her, glanced her way, and disappeared into the post office. Maybe she should have called out to him, but what would she say? "Help, this man is trying to have a conversation with me, and I don't like it." Magician Azel caught up and walked beside her. She contemplated shoving him into the ornamental bushes lining the walk, but she didn't exactly excel in upper body strength. "Not money. How about a copy of the polymaker's test?" She stopped. He continued half a step before halting. Gritting her teeth, she said, "I'm not telling you anything. I'm not going to associate with you. Please leave." Her heart was beating faster now, and her hands were cool and moist. She gripped the strap of her bag until her knuckles whitened. Part of her wanted to swing it into the side of the polymaker's head. Another part of her wanted to run away and hide behind the shrubbery. A scowl devoured the false smile. "Listen, you little—" "I will scream." He said nothing more, only raised both hands as if in surrender. A young man was coming down the walk behind him, and an automobile had just passed them on the road. Alvy wondered if Magician Azel felt the eyes of passers-by. The last thing a prestigious magician would want was a record. He nodded. "Good day." And with that, he pushed past her, bumping his shoulder into hers. She turned and watched him go, waiting until he was a safe distance before running up the street and around the corner to where Fred waited. She opened the door and jumped into the automobile before he could even stir from his seat. "Let's go," she said. "Please." He nodded and started the engine. Reaching her hand out the window, Alvy set the mailbird for Magician Thane free, watching it spiral skyward until the driver pulled away.